Our Bible reading today comes from Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, and can be found on page 1706 in the Church Bibles. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honour than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honour than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house, and we are his house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory.
Thanks, Trudy. Good afternoon, everyone. My name's Jason. If we haven't met, it's good to be with you. Thanks for coming along to encourage us this afternoon. Just a couple of things I thought I'd mention before I start. First is we had our youth family dinner on Friday night, and it was really encouraging. There were heaps of high school kids here in this room. It was chockers with high school kids and their family hangers on. So praise God that there are so many high school kids who are engaging with the gospel. And then there were like 50 kids out the back as well who aren't old enough to be there yet. So that was super encouraging. And today we had our budget congregational meeting, which was adequately attended, I can say that. But it was encouraging too, because you guys are particularly generous, and I praise God for that in the way that you're sustaining the ministry here through church. But yeah, there are lots of really great things happening in the life of our church. And if you ever have any questions about what we're doing and why, make sure you ask myself or Simon or any of the elders. We'd love to speak to you about that. But right now we're going to pray, and I'll lead us in that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the scriptures. Thank you that you speak to us through them. We pray that you might illuminate our hearts now, Lord, reshape us by your spirit through your word into the men and women you made us to be, Lord. Give us the ability to live like Christ in this world, to fulfill our potential as we seek to live for him. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I found an article on another church's website the other day, and it was helpful. It was called 25 Books Every Christian Should Read. And I looked at the top 10 books in the list, and there were some great, well-known Christian authors there. John Piper, J.I. Packer, C.S. Lewis, Tim Keller, R.C. Sproul, John MacArthur. Look, if you're here today and you don't know who those blokes are, it's no big deal. We're not here to teach you to follow people. But they are quite prominent Christian authors. What I think when I read an article like that is, am I even a real minister if I haven't read the top 10 books in the list of the top 25? Am I even a real Christian? Am I half a Christian if I haven't read those things? I reckon I've owned 5 of the top 10 books, if that gets you some sort of credit, or at least I've had them on my bookshelf from time to time. But I'd be lying if I'd said I'd actually read any of them in full. I kind of feel a bit ashamed saying that. Like, it'd be easier for me to confess that I got drunk last night than to admit this sort of thing as a minister. I didn't, incidentally. I started reading 2 of these books but like, I think Mere Christianity was one of them. Just couldn't get into it, unfortunately. And I started reading another one, and I just could not get into it. Maybe I'll mature into that as I get older. I find lists like this remind me of what I'm not doing, and that's pretty discouraging for me. I don't know if there are things that make you feel like you're not a real Christian. Maybe you don't read all the books that other Christians talk about. Maybe you don't go to Bible study. Maybe you don't go to the prayer meeting. Maybe you didn't come to the congregational meeting today. I can say that 17 people did, right? Which is a quorum. We had a quorum. Maybe you don't enjoy Christian music. Maybe it's your sin. Sin can be discouraging. It can make you feel like you're not a real Christian. It can get the better of us so easily, and we can feel beaten. It's very easy to let things get to us and make us wonder, am I the real deal? Is the day coming when I'll be exposed as a fake because I'm not nailing these extracurricular things that most other Christians seem to be nailing? Am I not enough? Well, if you sometimes feel like that, I think there's comfort for you in this passage. Really, making it to the end without walking away because you're a failure, it's not as complex as reading all the books. It's not as complex as attending all the programs and the prayer meetings and the Bible studies. Being a genuine member of God's family, or his house, as this passage calls it, being assured of your place in heaven, it really just takes one thing. We make it complex. There are good reasons behind all the things we've added on. But fundamentally, being part of God's house takes one thing. And the author's gone out of his way to make it super clear to us in this passage here, as he talks to some people who are a bit confused about how many things and people they're meant to be focusing on. He basically says there is one thing, and that's to fix your thoughts on Jesus. Now, that's the clear command in this passage. Have a read from verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Whenever we see a therefore at the start of a sentence, it's not the normal way you start a sentence. You don't walk up to somebody at the start of church and say, therefore, how are you going? Now, what is the therefore there for? Well, last week, we looked at the bit just before this, and that tells us what the therefore was there for. He's basically saying, in light of what I've just told you, this is what I want you to do. What we heard last week was, even though the world seems like a bit of a mess, and even though our lives seem like a bit of a mess, we can see humanity for what it was made to be by looking at the person Jesus Christ. Not only did Jesus come and do the things that we were made to do but couldn't because of our sin, he went through death. He paid the price for our sin. He shed his blood to be the perfect sacrifice for our sin, and he blazed a trail through death to life, to glory. We said he's the great trailblazer, the archaeos, I think a lot of you guys were saying, which is the Greek word for trailblazer, right? He's the one who's taken humanity to where it's meant to be. And so the author says, therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, who will be with Jesus, praising the name of the Lord in the heavenly throne room, therefore, fix your thoughts on Jesus. This is an imperative verb. I went through the generation of kids at school that they didn't teach grammar to. I did not even get taught what a verb was when I was in school. But I paid about 80 grand to do 4 years of Bible college, which I put on fee help, don't worry. This is where I learnt what a verb is. The verb, the main verb, the only command in this passage, the imperative, the must do, is fix your thoughts on Jesus. That's what we must do. Everything else in this passage revolves around that command. In light of who Jesus is, in the fact that he's our trailblazer, the archaeos, the one who's taken us to glory, fix your thoughts on him. When he says Jesus is our apostle, that's a bit confusing. The one who we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest there at the end of verse 1, that's a bit confusing because when we think of apostles, we think of Peter and James and Paul and John. But what apostle means in Greek, in the languages originally written, is one who was sent. So Jesus is our apostle because the author's just told us he was the one who was sent into the world to become a man to take humanity to where it was meant to be. He's not an apostle like the other guys. He's the one who was sent from God to be our great salvation. So we fix our thoughts on him. The key action in response to the trailblazer is to fix our thoughts on Jesus. The author says in verse 2, Jesus was faithful to the one who appointed him. If you want to be faithful, focus on him because he's faithful. He's the model of faithfulness par excellence. In fact, he was faithful like Moses. Now that seems a bit left field for us because we don't kind of think about Moses in our everyday life. But Moses was a really important person for the first readers of this letter. The first readers of this letter were predominantly Jewish converts to Christianity. And for Jews, Moses is the man. because Moses is the one who received the Ten Commandments from the Lord on Mount Sinai. He's the one who wrote the first five books of the Bible. And he was a great, faithful Israelite. And so the author says, Jesus, he was faithful to the one who appointed him, just like Moses. Just as you used to focus on Moses, Jesus is the faithful one you're to focus on now. Fix your thoughts on Jesus now. That's the only command in this passage. Clear everything else away. Fix your thoughts on him. Our two youngest boys have been trying to learn how to swim butterfly. It's confusing. I Googled instructional images on how to swim butterfly. Maybe Kath can sit down with the boys and go through these pictures. But she got the kids in the pool the other day, and to teach Joe, she asked him to watch Rex. Now, I don't know if you know anything about sibling relationships, but it's hard enough to get him to focus on Kath or the swimming teacher, but to ask him to focus his thoughts on his big brother, that's an insult. That's patronising. Why would he ever do that, right? Well, the answer is very simple. It's because he can't do it and Rex can do it. For a lot of early Hebrew readers, they had trouble accepting that Jesus was someone they should focus on. Like, he was a human that lived in their lifetime. And so it's all good and well to talk about him being divine and that sort of thing, but he was a human who lived in their lifetime. It's like saying fix your thoughts on Fred Hollows or Mahatma Gandhi or Justin Bieber or something. We might respect them as people for what they've done, but we know they're just people. Whereas Moses, on the other hand, he was a great prophet. You know, his face glowed at seeing the glory of the Lord. Yet the author says here, I want you to be very clear who you have to fix your thoughts on. It's the one who did what you couldn't do. It's the one who's done what you needed to be done. It's Jesus, the one who's taken you through death to life to glory. It's quite simple, isn't it? This is the Christian faith, focusing on Jesus and following him through death to life. It might be helpful to read good books and to go to Bible study and to listen to Christian music. It might be helpful to listen to podcasts. It might be helpful to come to church. But all those things, as helpful as they are, in and of themselves, don't get us a place in glory. The key is fixing your thoughts on the one who's taken us there. Fixing your thoughts on Jesus. And the most simple way to focus on Jesus is to read about him in the scriptures. To see that he came and gave his life for sin. To see that he's defeated death, that he's risen, that he's reigning with the Father, that he's here to help us in our weakness. The key to our faithfulness is fixing our thoughts on Jesus. Don't be mistaken. Don't go away from here hearing me say, well, books and Bible study and listening to ministers and Christian music isn't of any value. It is of value, and I'm really glad you came and you're at least looking like you're listening at this stage. But I just want to be crystal clear, even without those things, you will stand in glory with your Creator if your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish I could tell you that coming to church was a requirement. It's important, right? We've got this obligation to encourage one another and to spur one another on. Next week we'll think about that a little bit more. But is it something that will guarantee you a place in glory? No. Your faith in Christ means there's been a trail blazed for you and you'll stand with your Creator in heaven. What did Jesus say to the thief on the cross who had very little doctrinal knowledge? I don't think he'd even been baptised. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. You put your faith in me, you will follow me through death to life to glory. It's simple, isn't it? One command, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Do you do that? Have you considered who Jesus is and what he's done? Are your thoughts fixed on him? Do you consider him carefully? That's the command of this passage. And the rest of the passage basically says, if you do that, you'll be in the house. That's the language it uses. But I think it means you'll be in the people of God. If you hold firmly to Jesus, that's where you'll be. Have a read from verse 3. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honour than Moses. That is such a controversial statement to make to a first century Jew. In fact, even today, Jews who are not Christian think that Jesus is a deceiver and a joke, right? So here, Jesus has been found worthy of greater honour than Moses. That's a big deal. Just as the builder of a house has greater honour than the house itself. The author ratchets it up here to make sure his readers, converts from Judaism, know that they don't need to focus on Moses anymore, but just to hold firm to Jesus. He doesn't want to diss Moses. He doesn't want to disregard him. Moses is still a really important character in the Bible, right? But he's just a servant. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honour than Moses. Don't be mistaken, the author's saying, as great as Moses was, Jesus is worthy of greater honour, just as the builder of a house has greater honour than the house itself. Moses didn't build the house of God's people. He was a part of the house, a servant in God's house. And the readers looked to him and honoured him. In fact, the way they referred to the Bible was the law of Moses. So he's a really important figure. Their whole understanding of what it meant to be part of the people of God was based around the things Moses had taught them. The rituals they had to perform, the ceremonies they had to perform, the festivals they had to keep, the laws they had to obey. It was all bound up in Moses. But you see what the author's saying here? Don't be mistaken. There is somebody you ought to focus on who is worthy of greater honour than him. He was just a servant in God's house. Jesus is the builder. He is the Son. Moses, very helpful, faithful, pointed forward. Those great promises that you read about in Genesis where God speaks about one day all the nations of the earth being blessed through the descendants of Abraham that eventually gets fulfilled in Christ. Moses did a great job of pointing people forward to Jesus, but Jesus does the job of taking people through death to life to glory. And so the author says Moses has been a great servant, but don't be mistaken, don't focus on the servant. Focus on the Son. He says in the last sentence of verse 6, if we hold firmly to our faith in Jesus, and hold firmly, incidentally, is the second main verb in this passage that calls us to action, but it's really saying the same thing as the first. Hold firmly to our hope in Christ. If we do that, just like Moses, then we are God's house too. That's how great Jesus is. He actually makes us like Moses in God's house. We're as much a part of the people of God as he was. Our calling and our future is sure. That's if we hold firmly, if we can continue to focus on Christ. The passage is very clear. I feel like I've been really repetitive. We don't need to fix our thoughts on anything else. Just on Jesus, hold firmly to him, and you will be in the house of the Lord forever. We all give intellectual assent to this. This is the heart of our faith. When a few Australians started playing NFL or American football a little while ago, I tried to start watching it because, I want to be patriotic and support my nation. There are all these guys on the field that you have to focus on. And a lot of them look like they're going to get the ball, but they're not. They're decoys. Some of them are blockers, some of the defenders. They're very important players. Their role is very important, but they are not the ones you're meant to focus on. A lot of these players, well, their specific role is to serve the guy who's getting the ball. There is only one player who's getting the ball, and that's who you want to have your eyes on. It's not that the others aren't important, they're just not the focus. The author's saying here, yeah, Moses was an important player in the team. Don't be mistaken. His role was essential. But there's only one guy with the ball, one guy you need to focus on, and that's Jesus, the one who took on human flesh to pay for our sin, the one who can cover us over and make us right with our Creator and give us a place in glory. Hold firmly to him. Now, again, I have to say, I don't want you to come away from this talk hearing me say, or saying in the car on the way home, well, it was great being part of that church, wasn't it? We don't have to go anymore. Isn't that good news? I don't want you to hear me saying you shouldn't bother with Christian books or Bible study or Christian music or podcasts. Those things can be super helpful in directing our thoughts to Jesus. I know Simon, if I could just name somebody here, he listens to a lot of podcasts that actually really help him to focus on Christ. And that's fantastic, isn't it? I've actually read some really helpful books that have helped me to focus on Christ. Going to church, I find it encouraging. I even go on my holidays, right? So there are lots of helpful things that help us to focus on Christ, but we cannot be mistaken. These things are servants. They're not the ones carrying us into glory. If they help us focus on Christ, great. If they help us fix our thoughts on Jesus, great. But just holding on to Jesus in faith is enough. The irony with all these things, like Bible studies and programs and books, podcasts, is that people come up with these things to help us to follow Jesus and to help us to remember that it's only by faith in him that we're right with God. But sometimes these things become things that we feel like if we're not doing, we're actually not right with God. Sometimes we talk about Bible studies here in church, and you might feel like you're not a real Christian because you're not a regular part of a Bible study group. Well, I'm sorry if we make you feel like that. I'm sorry if we communicate that to you. It's great to meet together with God's people. It's really good. But does it make you half a Christian if you're not attending a Bible study? No, it doesn't. How is it that you get to glory? By putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are 100% fully fledged, fully qualified, postgraduate, doctorate Christian. Not because of what you do, but because of what Christ has done. We don't want to muddy the waters and start to think the servants are the saviour. The servants are not the saviour. Maybe in my case, it's good for me to want to read those books. I should get that list and go, you know what? I should try and make myself read those books. It'd actually be really helpful for me. But I should not feel like I'm less of a Christian because I don't. I think for the Jews, in their case here, they probably carried a lot of guilt, turning away from some of the practices that they'd been raised and taught were essential to being part of the people of God. Well, the author's saying, you know what? Moses was great in as much as he pointed you to Jesus. Focus on him if he helps you to focus on Christ. But he's the servant. He's not the saviour. Don't feel discouraged, friends, about not fixing your thoughts on the servants. And don't let me or anybody else make you feel discouraged or like you're half a Christian if you are not doing anything other than trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is fundamentally your salvation. We're not meant to fix our thoughts on the servants. We're meant to fix them on the Saviour. Now, we want to be balanced here, right? Come next week. I'll make you feel guilty. But today, I want you to hear with clarity what the author is saying to us. Fix your thoughts on Christ. He has blazed a trail for you through death to life to glory. Hold firmly to him. You'll be in the house. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the work that the Lord Jesus has done that we could not do. We thank you that he was perfectly obedient, that he was the perfect sacrifice for our sin, and that he's defeated death, and that he reigns at your side in human flesh. Father, thank you that he's taken us by faith alone to where we were made to be. Lord, help us just to hold firmly to Christ. Help us to rejoice that you're helping us to do that. Father, help us to focus our thoughts on him and to hold firmly until that day we are with you in glory, declaring your praises with the Lord Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen.